Such types of ships, of course, could be converted into cargo ships. And there was a certain economic efficiency in all of this, because if you put the time to construct one of these things, when you weren't using it to knock out your rival, you could then use it for trade and commerce. And there was a tendency, especially in the cities of the Levant, which were all commercial city-states, those cities such as Tyre, Sidon, Byblos, the leading Phoenician states, that when they were going to put the resources into building these ships, that they served that dual purpose. Well, somewhere along the line, there was a change from cargo vessels and warships together to a differentiation into what is known as a cargo ship. In Greek, that would be a hoklos, and a warship, a trireme. That is, ships built deliberately for war and not really having much commercial application. We have some indications of when this might have occurred. There are some remarkable reliefs from a site called Kara Tepe, which is today in southeastern Turkey. It was a Neo-Hittite palace temple complex. The reliefs show a variety of ships that seem to indicate that we're already differentiating between war and cargo vessels. Unfortunately, these reliefs still need to be published, and the archaeologists in charge of this are in the midst of working through all the implications of the reliefs. Nonetheless, somewhere in the 8th or 7th century BC, there was a move to this sort of diversification in the function of a ship. This was probably propelled not by the Phoenician city-states or any Greek city-state. Far from it. Those city-states probably liked the idea of having warships that could also function as cargo vessels. The Greeks called these ships very often pentakontors, meaning ships that were rowed by 50 oarsmen. 50 men total, that is 25 oars on a side. And the impetus for building specific warships probably came from the great monarchs of the Near East. These would be the monarchs of the Assyrian Empire and then the Persian Empire. Such kings wanted navies that could win decisive battles and therefore lead to conquests. And it was probably under their orders that Phoenician shipwrights in the 7th and 6th century BC devised different types of techniques that led to the creation of a trireme, which becomes the premier warship sometime in the 6th century BC. It's built first in the Phoenician ports. At the time of Xerxes' invasion of Greece in 480 BC, the Phoenicians were regarded as the best sailors, the best practitioners in the use of the tactics associated with the trireme. Particularly the city of Sidon was regarded as one of the best of the best, really. That navy from Sidon was dreaded by the Greeks in 480 BC. But the Greek city-states very quickly picked up on this, particularly Greek tyrants. In what we call East Greece, those are the islands and the shores of Asia Minor, the tyrant Polycrates, who ruled the island of Samos, one of the great trade centers in the 6th century BC, still a beautiful island to visit, probably one of the most beautiful of the Aegean islands. Lygdemus, another tyrant in Naxos, they each built fleets, which seemed to be the earliest fleets of triremes in the late 6th century BC, and they were so successful that it drew the attention of the Peloponnesians, and the Spartans actually launched expeditions against both tyrants to break their naval power, and that's an early use of fleets by the Peloponnesian League. It's clear that by the time of the Ionian Revolt in 494 BC, when the Greeks on the shores of Asia Minor, who were subjects of the great king of Persia, rose in rebellion to throw off the Persian rule, that all of the Greek city-states had shifted over to triremes. At the decisive battle in that revolt in 494, at the Battle of Lade, and I'll be discussing that a bit in the next lecture, the Ionian Greeks, some nine cities, were able to launch 350 or so ships in the final showdown. I think it was 353 is the total, which is a considerable effort. So triremes become the premier warships in part, and I always found this ironic in the Ionian Rebellion, in large part because Near Eastern monarchs wanted them. They had the means and resources to demand this type of military service that no city-state would ever have imagined. And once this warship got out in use, well, you really can't use pentakontors when your opposing neighbor is starting to launch triremes. And so, in effect, the 6th century BC initiated something of an arms race in naval warfare. It's perhaps an exaggeration to use that term, but there is apparently a major conversion going over from these older ships that were used with boarding tactics to a trireme whose primary tactic was ramming and sinking the opposing vessel, which we'll get to in a moment, and a ship that was built essentially as a ramming vessel with very little purpose other than to destroy other triremes.